The next speaker is me. Woohoo! Hi. Okay. Oh my god! It's wow! What a show this has been. Geez Louise, I'm fine. Okay. Story. The story I want to tell tonight is not so much a story as a series of vignettes. I told people that I was leaving to move to New York over various posts and emails, text messages, conversations in person when I could swing it. But the question I've been getting the most from people is, when did this happen? Why did this happen? This seems very sudden. Wow, you're gonna leave that quickly? Oh my gosh, this is crazy. That last one was a question from a robot. So, the truth is, this has been in motion for a very long time. There have been some people I've talked to about that, and some that I've just let it be in the background to not worry about. So the first vignette is me on a coach bus with the National Art Honor Society, which I was vice president of. While we were on a trip down to Chicago, it was the first time I went and I saw the horizon rise over the highway as we were coming down. And it was the first time I had seen it, and I felt like I had never seen anything quite like that before. The second is me in my bedroom in Minnesota trying to figure out what college to go to, not wanting to go to any of them and choosing Madison because it was in state and seemed fine for now. The next is me in my dorm room being so uncertain of my choice, finding my friends there, improvisers, learning about Chicago and comedy, meeting Eric Siegel and Steve Hirsch, the only two people I knew in Chicago when I moved here, and the two people who arguably got me every single friend I've made. Coming down here, laying on my dorm room floor, thinking about how I didn't have any friends and how I had left this place to go after a dream I wasn't sure that I had, and making myself get up and respond and go to every single Facebook event invited improv show that someone I kind of knew had sent me, because that was how I was going to make friends, god damn it. Going to midnight shows, getting to perform, getting to walk on stage at I.O. for the first time, taking a class at Second City, getting into conservatory there, getting to take a class on the main stage, being up there in front of everybody, coming to your stories. The email that Kevin sent me asking if I wanted to go to New York with the Nerdalogs. It's funny because at that point, I had decided I was going to be in Chicago. I had been there for a couple of years. I really liked it. I had been choosing when I transferred schools to go to either Chicago or New York, and I chose Chicago because New York, you know.
Street garbage.
Yeah, street garbage. No alleys. Don't know if you're aware. That's come up. There was just something about Chicago that made me feel really loved. Mostly that the school I was transferring to kept sending me presents in the mail. I loved it. It totally worked. They sent me a little moleskin with a heart on it for Valentine's Day. I hadn't accepted yet. And I was like, I'd been accepted, but I hadn't accepted that I was going there. And then they sent me a present that was that. And then they also sent me a present that was a big scholarship. So I took it. yes, they were equal is in my eyes. The moments that followed though were ones of uncertainty. And as much as I love Chicago and the people I knew and the people I got to perform with and the people I loved, I saw so many people floundering and so many people leaving and so many people deciding to go on to different places that I said, I wonder if that's ever going to be me. And as I gradually, probably too slowly, realized that my career was not in some sort of new field of professional improvisation, I realized that there was a good chance that I would stay there for a long time. There were other points that shook that. Steve and I breaking up, for instance. That was the end of a potential life that I could have had. Me moving out of my apartment in Wicker Park that I had loved so much and lived for so long into a new place with new people in a new part of the city. But the moment that really shook that to the core the most was meeting Brad. I knew from the start, Brad was an actor. He had to leave the city. And I was like, ugh, am I gonna date this one? And the answer was yes, I was. Multiple times. And the moment I knew that I was out of Chicago was the moment he called me while I was in Australia and told me that he was in love with me. Nothing in that song was a metaphor. That was all just where we were. I knew that we were leaving, and I started coming to terms with that. I had always thought of the idea of leaving somewhere very, very hard and very painful, so I started coming to terms with it. And earlier this year, Brad went to LA for 2 months for pilot season and spent time there. I spent 2 days out there, or 10 days out there with him to prepare for the move. And we came back really uncertain that that was the move that we wanted to make. So we spent a week in New York, and we said, yeah, I think we can do this. That moment of certainty has been followed by so many moments of uncertainty. The move date was September 1st, October 1st, November 1st, and now it is December 1st. So all the moments since then have felt really hard and uncertain. Moments where I had dinner with Brad's dad, and he was like, why aren't you going to LA? And I was like, why aren't we? I don't know. And then I was like, Brad, why aren't we? And I was like, oh, now I feel better that I've gotten my feelings out. And he's like, now I feel bad, and we're terrible. moments like when I was walking to my fourth Herald audition, after having never made it, not been cast out of a team out of IO, wondering why I was still doing it, I got a phone call from my dad saying that he had colon cancer. That day really clarified a lot of things. For instance, it was hilarious that I thought I was going to do a Herald audition. Did not go. So I hope someone got my slot. And it made a lot of things about that move really clear in that, one, it was not happening November 1st. That was too hard for me at that moment, and also that it was definitely happening the month after, because we knew where he was and how well he was. We not know where he's going to be a year from now, so I don't want to be in the middle of a move, so we needed to pull the trigger. We went out for a wedding, and we chose to look at apartments, and we found this beautiful unicorn of an apartment that's two floors and has a yard and is beautiful and has 1.5 baths.
What?
I'm not gonna do my hair and makeup on the carpet of my bedroom anymore. The 1.5 bath things is the thing that Brad latches onto is like an obscene luxury.
Like, fucking hate it.
I am so excited for it. We can both use the bathroom. I love it. I'm so happy about that. But and we moved in, and there was no. Finally, things were coming together and things were feeling good, and we scheduled movers and we packed all of our things into boxes and we said, yeah, we're doing this. And we put all our things into boxes, and Brad had some stuff in New York, so we said, let's go early in the month. And then I found out that I don't get to continue working at my job, and I said, that's fine. And I found out that I have the biggest project of my life and Thanksgiving a week before we're supposed to move, and I said, that's okay. And then Brad had some stuff that was even a week earlier than we thought it was, so we were like, that's fine, we can move in 3 days. And we did it, and we got in our truck and we put the grill in and the organ, and we left the piano because that was really expensive to move. And we got everything in, and we got in the truck, and we started driving right across the country. And we got to Ohio, and it was 10 p.m., and the radio came on, and it said, Donald Trump has won Ohio and North Carolina. Because we decided to move on election day. Because we're idiots who make bad choices. And then knowing that we were idiots who make bad choices made everything spiral out of control. So as we were crying in a hotel room in Ohio, we thought long and hard about whether or not we wanted to make this move. All of our stuff was in the parking lot. Rent on the apartment was paid for. We decided to keep going. We couldn't get into New York that night because there were too many protests outside of Trump Tower. We expected that we wouldn't be able to get in on election night, of course, because the Hillary celebration would be in Brooklyn. Look what assholes we are. Yeah, I know, Dwight, or whoever made that sound.
It was me.
Oh, it's Brad. Yeah, that was way more of a Brad thing to do than a Dwight thing to do. That makes sense. Every part of every major move I've made in my life to this point has been just rife with uncertainty and anxiety and fear. And, you know, like some wise woman on this stage earlier tonight said, there's this song about how you just had to keep going. And it, you keep rolling was, it was me when I was talking about the song. And things are really scary and uncertain and terrifying, but I'm going to New York. And one of the things that I keep thinking about in this, I'm going to get very sappy, but, is this show. And is the Nerdalogs. I left the Nerdalogs over a year ago, but I wanted to keep doing this show because it was so important to me. And the fact that I get to still hear it every single week is going to make me feel like I'm home for an hour every Monday. And the fact that there are so many people here that I know I can always come back to. And I think about all the people in Nerdalogs who moved away, Alex and Bill and Steve and John and Caitlin, who are in New York and who I'm going to hang out with and force them to be my friend. And Kevin Walsh, who is in LA, who texted me about moving to LA, who, if we wind up there eventually, I will make be my friend. And all of these people I know I have forever. For the people in this room right now are my forever friends. And like Maura said, Chicago will always be here and we will change, but Chicago will always be here. And I feel so impossibly, impossibly lucky that no matter how scary everything is, we've made such a wonderful home here. What a fine story. She sure did fill that time with words. Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Claire Friedman. You'll never see her again. That's not true. ELB and Maura can attest to this. The first year that I left Chicago, left Madison for Chicago, I went back to Madison at least once a month.
Like a plague.
Yeah. I was insufferable. I kept being like, hi, can I live with you while I avoid making new social contacts? Yes, was the answer. Okay.